Let's go to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, if you will, tonight. While you're turning there, I'll remind you there is a sheet on the desk, actually a couple of sheets on the desk. If you in the foyer, if you want to sign up for what you'll bring for the International Supper, I hope you'll do that. And people ask, well, you know, where was the leak? Well, I brought our plumber in. He looked it over, ran the water, all everything. Couldn't find a leak anywhere. Not exactly sure what happened. It's all a guess, so your guess is as good as mine, all right? But I've got a guy coming Friday morning to clean the carpet and hopefully make it look a little bit better. And we'll try to get that taken care of, you know, and it'll make it look good, all right? I can't help it. Every time we're getting ready for mission conference and they've taken things down in the auditorium, look back there and go, what's wrong? You know, I miss the bulletin board that's there. And so you get used to those things. And I was sitting up here tonight. I look back there and I go, what? Oh, yeah. So, that's what's wrong. So anyhow, that's good. I hope you're planning to come to mission conference. If you've never been, you ought to come, all right? It'll be a blessing to you. It'll help you, and it'll challenge you, and we all need to be challenged. We all need to be helped. So I hope you'll do that. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Won't you just look at one verse with me, if you will. Verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, the truth of the matter is you could say that in the physical realm, you can say it in the spiritual realm also, all right? In the physical world, the heart's so very important when it comes to life. And you know, I know none of you are going, man, I never heard of that. I know that's not a revelation to you, but I've heard people argue about when life is gone, whether it's when the heart stops beating or there's no brain activity. Well, it can't be the no brain activity because I got kids in school don't have any brain activity. But they're running around and jumping and going everywhere, all right? So it can't be that. But no, I don't know. I guess there's arguments for both sides of it. Tonight I'm really not worried about the physical world and physical life. But I do want you to look, if you will, tonight and consider with me on that spiritual side the importance of your heart when it comes to your spiritual life. Our text says that it's out of that heart that we get the issues of life, all right? Does so much for life. If your heart's not right with God, then you're not right with God. It's just that simple. And you can't be right with your fellow man if you're not right with God, all right? Those go together. So with that in mind, I want to speak to you tonight of guard your heart, okay? Guard your heart. You need to take care of it. Needs to be guarded very carefully. You say, well, why? What can go wrong? Well, at least four things. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, would you? We're going to turn to several places in the scripture, and Deuteronomy chapter 11 is where we'll start here. When we talk about guarding your heart, what do you need to guard it from? Physically, they say, well, you got to guard it from cholesterol and that kind of thing, and maybe so, and then if you've ever had heart trouble, and I've got two stents in one of my arteries around my heart, and there's good cholesterol, there's bad cholesterol, and man, you juggle all of that, you take all the blood tests, and you want your good cholesterol to be up and the bad to be down, and hey, have fun with it, all right? But hey, when it comes to your heart on the spiritual side, look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. The Bible said, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. One of the great challenges and one of the great reasons you need to guard your heart is because your heart can be deceived. The truth of the matter is the devil's definitely going to try to deceive you. He is the great deceiver. He's a liar. And, you know, so deceit is something that goes along with him. He's going to give it everything he can to deceive you. People will try to deceive you. There are people out there. Most of the phone calls I get during the day, and today was a busy day. It was one call after another, and a lot of them were there for one reason, to deceive me. They're scammers, all right? And I think, my word, is there that many people that don't want to work for a living, you know? And so there's so many out there, their whole deal is to deceive you. I wish this wasn't true, but the government will often try to deceive you. But the complicating factor and the most difficult thing about it is found in Jeremiah chapter 17. We talk about, you know, let not your heart, all right, be deceived, all right? Your heart be deceived. Well, Jeremiah chapter 17, here's why that's such a challenge. Jeremiah 17, the Bible says in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hey, don't let your heart be deceived. The devil wants to deceive you. People want to deceive you. Multitudes, entities, and want to deceive you. And your own heart is deceitful. I'm telling you, you got a battle when it goes on, all right? A deception comes, though, to you in your heart when you become convinced that that which is false is true. When you become convinced that that which is false is really true, then you've been deceived. When you get to the point where you believe and are convinced that evil is good, you've been deceived. You've been deceived. A lot of the battles that are being fought in our nation today, in government and the courts, is because so many people have been deceived about what's good and what's evil. We can't even get that part straight, all right? And so how in the world are we going to be able to combat that? You get convinced that that which is false is true. People are able to do that to you. So how do we combat it? Well, it's needful then that we be extremely familiar with the truth. Extremely familiar with the truth. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but have you ever heard somebody maybe quoting a Bible verse and or they're reading or claim to be quoting a Bible verse and you go, something doesn't sound just right. Something there is just off. And maybe then you go look it up and you find out they changed a word. They left out some words. Or they stopped in the middle of the verse and then turned around and taught that which is heresy. Hey, one of the best things you can do to keep from being deceived is be very, very familiar with the truth. I've been told this multitudes of times that those that examine money, and I'm sure you've heard it for trying to find counterfeit money, what they do is handle the real thing. And then when you come across something that's not real, you immediately tell it by the feel. It's just not right. Doesn't feel right. I mentioned one time years ago, we had somebody give in the offering and gave a counterfeit $20 bill. You said, why would somebody give counterfeit money in church? Well, you got to spread it around. No, I was kidding, all right? I got a feeling the person that gave it didn't know it was counterfeit, all right? I don't think they knew it was counterfeit, but we took it to the bank, and they were counting the money, and this lady said, wait a minute, this bill's counterfeit. I told Dad, quit printing it, Dad. You've got to do a better job, all right? Now, it was there, and she told us, she said, here's how you can tell. She said, feel of this dollar, this $20 bill right here, and now feel of a real one. Big difference. Big difference. Immediately obvious, okay? So, you need to be familiar with what's right so you'll know what's wrong. You need to be familiar with the truth so you'll recognize the false. And if we can do that, it's going to help you, all right? Evil always stands out under the spotlight of truth. If you can put evil under the spotlight, you can see the problem. But if it's the truth that's shined on it, and folks, there's no other place for that truth than the Word of God. The Bible in John 17, 17 says, "Thy word is true." So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need to be familiar with this book. You need to develop a familiarity with it. Look, if you've been saved 2 months, okay, you're not going to know it a whole lot. But friend, if you've been saved 20 years, you ought to have some familiarity with that book. You ought to know something about the Bible. When you hear it, you ought to, if somebody's quoting it, you go, "Man, that don't sound right. That don't sound right." I'll be somewhere and I'll see a verse and I say, "Well, that's not the King James. That's not." And I don't have ever, by the way, don't get excited. I haven't memorized the whole Bible, all right? But you can look at it and tell, that's not the King James, all right? Hey, why not? Well, it doesn't sound right. I've been exposed to the truth now for a long, long time. And because I've been exposed for the truth, that which is false just stands out, man. There it is. You can see it, all right? Hey, so if you're going to guard your heart, you got to get in the book. You just got to get in the book. Say, "Preacher, you teach it all the time. You preach it all the time. Read the Bible. Read the Bible." Well, that's because you need to read your Bible, all right? Wouldn't do it if it wasn't necessary. But man, get in the book so you recognize that which is false. Pay attention. Pay attention when the Bible is preached. Pay attention when the Bible is taught. Man, I mean, both ears need to be there, all right? You need to have your mind on what's going on. Just be careful when you listen. Be careful when you listen. Have yourself focused on what's going on, all right? One of the things I try to emphasize to the fellows that I attempt to teach in Bible college, especially those in the homiletics class, is when you read your Bible, read it right. Read what's there. I've seen people read and they leave out words, they skip words, they change words. I want to say, whoa, that ain't the newspaper, all right? It's not a magazine, that's the Word of God. Every Word of God is pure. Focus on it. Focus on it. Emphasize it. And we need to do that. We need to get with it. In our school, the curriculum, the way it's laid out, there's Bible verses that kids have to memorize, you know, constantly. And on the test, they have to write out the verse on the test. And then they come and they're instructed to come quote it to the teacher when they'd hand the test in. And I've had them come, quote the verse, and put in the words when they quote it that they left out when they wrote it. And I've said, "Say that one more time." And I've asked them, "Well, is what you said right or what you wrote right? Which one's right, you know? Hey, those words are important. They're important. Listen to it. You need to know that truth. It's a good thing that truth, though, is so readily available. It's not hidden. You don't have to pay a ton of money. And the truth of the matter is, if you're here and you can't afford a Bible, we'll buy you a Bible. I'll happily buy you a Bible. Amen. It's not a problem in the world. You can get them. They're available everywhere. Good ones, all right? Old King James Bible, all right? Now, hey, make sure you're drinking from a pure stream, all right? Make sure you're drinking from a pure stream. Hey, you be careful. Guard your heart. Don't let it be deceived. Don't let it be deceived. But that's not all. Go with us to Psalm 95. Look, if you will, the 95th Psalm tonight. I want you to notice again one verse here. There's another reason that you need to guard your heart, all right? You need to guard your heart. Verse 8, Psalm 95. Notice what the Bible says. "Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Hey, harden not your heart. Now, I want you to notice, according to what the Bible says there, The hardening of the heart is an action that lies in our hands. The Bible says, harden not your heart. You harden not your heart. See, we get provoked sometimes. Temptation comes upon us, and we give in to it. The circumstances seem to gang up on us. Problems arise. And sometimes it's just things that just can't, you know, that just don't go our way. And because of that, we let all those things get to us. We let all those things get to us and draw our heart away from God. It's not God's fault. It's not man's fault. It's not the economy. It's not the environment. It's you. Or it's me. I let it happen. I just let that happen. I don't know if you know this, but if you chew gum and you chew it, it goes pretty good. But if you take it out and stick it on the bedpost and try to chew it the next day, it's a little bit hard, all right? A little bit hard. Hey, we let it get that way. If you're going to chew it, you better keep chewing, all right? You can't lay it aside and then come back to it. But we let those things get to us, and then what happens is we begin to resist the voice of God. We begin to push Him away. When God speaks to us, we turn a deaf ear. We walk away. Now, I'm going to tell you, the more you resist, the harder your heart becomes. The more you'll resist, the more you'll... Hey, when God's dealing with you and you say no to God, the more you say that, the more hard your heart will become. It'll just get harder, all right? Because you've allowed that to happen. It's your doing, okay? It's your doing. You allow it to take place. You allow that to happen. And it's up to you to work at it to keep that kind of thing from happening. That's why you move when God deals with you. When God deals with you, say, okay. I've said to you, man, if God deals with you in a church service, hit the altar. Get in the altar. Come. You say, well, I went last Sunday, and I went the Sunday before that. Doesn't matter. If God deals with you, you go. Because you want Him to keep dealing with you. You don't want your heart to get hard towards Him. When that heart gets hard towards Him, you quit listening, you resist Him, you push Him away. Don't let that take place in your life. When I was a kid, I liked to play with Play-Doh. All right? What's that other stuff they have? Silly Putty? Yeah, but there was something else. It wasn't Play-Doh, but it was something else like Play-Doh. And Play-Doh used to come in a box with four, looks like butter, you know, square things, you know. But I found out, man, you get that Play-Doh and you begin to work it and it gets softer. But if you lay it aside and don't fool with it, it begins to harden up. And the next time you pick it up to play with it, you got to work at it again. Hey, when you let your heart get hard, then God has to work harder with you. Has to put more of that pressure in your life, all right? Don't let that happen. You learn to listen to Him. Let Him work in your life. Keep your heart soft to the things of God. Keep it soft to the things of God. Be willing to listen to Him. When the Word of God is preached, you listen to it. That heart hardening is a process. We allow it to happen. We allow it to take place. It doesn't take place overnight. Man, we don't get indifferent overnight. It happens little by little. Well, that means that's why you need to work at keeping it soft, all right? Stay in prayer. Ask the Lord, Lord, keep me, all right? Keep me on that wheel. That potter keeps molding that clay, all right? And we need to be sure that's where we stay. And give God that, yield to Him, and let Him work in our life. And so we do stay soft, and our hearts stay soft. Our heart ought to be such that all the Lord had to do is just touch it. We'd immediately respond. He shouldn't have to smack us upside the head. We ought to be there. We ought to be listening for Him. Truth is, we ought to be asking Him, Lord, deal with me. Speak to me. Help me. Do something for me. The truth is, when we come to the house of God, we ought to always have that feeling, Lord, speak to me tonight. Speak to me today. Deal with me. If there's something in the life that needs to be taken care of, Lord, point it out. But then when He points it out, say, now, wait a minute, I wasn't talking about that. No, we got to give Him all of it, okay? You be careful. Don't harden your heart. Hey, when something comes your way, and it maybe stuns you for a moment, don't let it harden your heart. Don't let your heart get hard over that kind of thing. People mistreat you, so they do. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't do that to you. Don't do that to yourself, all right? Hey, you got to guard your heart. Why? It can be deceived. You got to guard your heart. Why? It can get hard. But there's something else. Look in Jeremiah chapter 51. We were in Jeremiah a while ago. Well, this time, Jeremiah chapter 51. There's something else about your heart that you need to realize is possible, all right? Jeremiah chapter 51. Look at verse 46. Look at what the Bible says. And lest your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. And lest your heart faint. Faint. Fainting is an indication of weakness. Now, weakness can be brought on. It can result from a lot of causes. I mean, it's just a lot of things. If you don't get enough air, you can pass out, all right? I've told people I've only fainted twice in my life. Both times was in the doctor's office. I've decided I'm allergic to doctors, all right? Now, both times I've fainted has been in a medical facility, all right? I mean, boom. The first time it happened, I told my wife, I said, I'm fixing to faint. She said, what? I said, yeah, I'm fixing to pass out. I wasn't kidding. I passed out. Came to, man, had the medical folks there, you know, and they'd come in and had the stretcher and all that. And I'm looking around saying, hey, man, how's it going? You know, I said, I knew it was coming. Knew it was coming. Hey, there's reasons. There's reasons. Sometimes it's weakness is because of lack of nutrition. All right? You need to be fed. You need to be fed. There's a lot of Christians faint because they've not been fed enough of the meat of the world, all right? Not been fed enough of the meat. Take your Bible over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, would you? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, look with me in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Notice what the Word of God says here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hey, our problem is we need some nutrition. We've not had enough of the meat of the word. We're depending on milk all the time. If I had to live on milk, I'd just soon be dead, all right? Unless they could figure out a way to do it through ice cream, I might could handle it that way. But I'm not a milk drinker, you know. I tell people I got weaned at a very early age and don't need it, all right? But what you need, when you're a babe, you need that milk. But wait a minute. After a while, you need some meat. After a while, you need some meat. One of the things bothers me about eating is I like the feel of crunching into a piece of meat. All right? Now, I like vegetables fine. I do. I got no problem. But man, I like to take a bite of chicken every now and then. Or maybe chomp down on some steak or a pork chop. Man, I like that deal. Hey, we need that nutrition. We need that meat. You need to develop an appetite for the meat of the Word of God. Why? It'll build you up. It'll make you strong. You won't have that weakness, all right? You will have that full age maturity. So what are you saying? I'm saying grow up, all right? Don't just take the milk. Take the meat. Hey, sometimes people faint because they need some rest. Now, I put this in second place on purpose. There's a lot more undernourished Christians than overworked ones, okay? There's a lot more undernourished than there is overworked. Now, the Lord did tell his disciples that it was necessary for them to come apart for a while. But man, I tell you, the bigger problem is we lack that strength because we've not fed enough on the Word of God. We're nutritionally short, all right? We've got a problem in that department. Psalm 31:24 says this, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Hey, summon up some courage. Put your hope in the Lord. Let him give you strength for your heart. Trust him on that matter. But man, get in some meat. Feed yourself, all right? Feed yourself. Your heart, guard it. Guard it. Why? It can be deceived. It can faint, all right? It can get hard. And lastly, I want you to look with me in John chapter 14. Now, if you know your Bible well, and usually if you've been to a lot of funerals, you know what's in John 14. John 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled." Hey, your heart can be troubled. Plenty of folks in our day, I believe, have a troubled heart. They live with it. They suffer because of that troubled heart every day. And usually it's because things have troubled them. Now, when the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled," that indicates that you and I have some control over this condition. Let not your heart be troubled. That means we're not helpless to prevent it from taking place. He said, "Well, what can we do?" Well, I believe the remedy is right here in that verse. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Just, you say, what is it, preacher? It's the plea of God to man. Believe me. Believe me. I believe hearts get troubled because we quit believing God and start believing men. We start listening to men. Look, there's always going to be somebody around willing, anxious, and ready to throw a wet blanket on you. Man, if the Lord begins to deal with you and you begin to get on fire for the Lord and things are firing up and you're excited, somebody comes along, whoop. Hey, they bring that trouble on you. And they start whispering to you, or in some cases yelling at you. Hey, it's no secret, you know, and we listen to men and we act like a man knows what he's talking about. I mentioned to you years ago there was a comedian that performed under the name of Professor Irwin Corey. And I've seen him on TV, and he would talk, and it sounded like he knew exactly what he was talking about. Well, when you listen to him after he talked for a while, you realize he hadn't said anything. He had just talked in circles. I mean, he had used words that long. You put them all together, they mean anything. But boy, you'd have thought, well, he believes that. He knows what he's talking about. Look, there's a lot of times men think they know what they're talking about. There's a lot of times people come along to you and they think they're giving you good advice. They think that what they're going to say to you will help you. But our faith is not in man. Our faith is not in him at all. Our faith is in the Word of God. Hey, let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God? Believe also in me, Jesus said. Trust him. Believe in him. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He told us some things. He's told us a great deal in the Word of God. And what he says to us is, believe me. You believe me. You trust me. Hey, we get a troubled heart because we quit believing what our God has said to us. We start listening to people. And hey, that people might be some person that's standing behind a pulpit. You may listen to him on the radio. You may hear him on TV, YouTube. There's a ton of falseness out there. There's a ton that's just dead wrong. Dead wrong. You say, well, how am I going to know? Remember what I said about be well acquainted with the truth? So you got to have that discernment. But you got to just believe God. Believe him. Believe what he says. You don't have to have your heart troubled. Believe God. Well, preacher, don't you ever get upset? Yes. Don't you ever worry? Yes. Doesn't do me any good, just like it doesn't do you any good either. Doesn't help me, doesn't solve the problem. There are times that I wake up in the middle of the night and something gets on my mind and there's not a thing in the world I can do about it right then, but I can't get it off my mind and I can't go back to sleep. Just sitting there, laying in the bed. What do you do? I get up. I get in my recliner. I find a preacher on YouTube and I can usually go to sleep. I'm just telling you. Don't let that stuff trouble you, all right? We listen to man way too much. We need to be the people that say, I'm going to listen to what God says. I'm going to seek what he says about it. Oh, hey, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. If you're not careful, it'll be deceived. It'll be deceived. If you don't take action, it can harden. It can harden on you. Hey, if you don't do some of the things you can and draw some strength, it can faint, pass out on you, lose hope, all right? If you don't do the things you should, it can be troubled. When you have a troubled heart, you're no good to yourself or anybody else. Oh, Paul there in Acts, he was on that ship 2 weeks. 2 weeks and hadn't seen the sun. Man, all hope that they were going to be saved was thrown away. We've done everything we can do. We're going to die. Man, there. You talk about troubled hearts. There were some troubled hearts. But then that day came that Paul said, hey, be of good cheer. For the God whose I am and whom I serve spoke to me. And he said, I believe God. There you go. You need to believe God. Don't listen to men. They'll mess you up. You trust God. Don't let your heart get troubled. Strengthen it. Keep on believing God. He can chase your troubles away if you give him a chance. Will you do it? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Heavenly Father, pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to realize how important it is that we do keep our heart. That we be careful about it. We guard it. we not allow it to be deceived. We not allow it to get hard. And Lord, we don't allow it to become troubled. And Lord, to faint. Lord, help us to do those things that we can do to prevent that from happening. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to guard our heart, keep it right with you. Lord, help us stay in your will and serve you. And Lord, we'll enjoy a life where we don't have to have a troubled heart. We don't have to have a hard heart. We don't have to have a heart that's deceived. But Lord, we can have a life that's filled and full, walking with you and serving you, enjoying the good things of God, because we've strengthened our heart.